Casper College political science professor Chris Hendrickson is running for the U.S. House of Representatives as a Democrat. He joins us for the first time to discuss his campaign and some of the issues facing both the state and nation. Well, Chris, first off, nice to have you in the studio chatting with us. It might be good to have you introduce yourself to the state of Wyoming. Tell folks just real briefly a little bit about yourself and what got you in this race.
Sure. I am a political science professor at Casper College, and Casper College is what brought me to Wyoming. I teach Introduction to U.S. and Wyoming Government there. I'm a father of three. I have three young children, 6, 10, and 12, and I've been married for 14 years. I've lived my whole adult life in the West and jumped into this race largely because it's something I've always wanted to do. And I saw an opportunity and an opening and decided rather than sitting back and just watching elections that I needed to do more. And I think my skill set is best for, you know, actually running.
Chris Hendrickson visiting with us. He's your Democratic candidate for Congress. Let's jump into a couple of issues. And boy, one's real hot button. In fact, by the time we get this on the air, who knows? The Supreme Court may make a decision on the health care overhaul law. Lots of components there. Would this be something you'd hope would get through the Supreme Court and that you support?
I do. I think the Supreme Court will uphold it. Not that I know. I don't know any more than anybody else does. But I think that the Affordable Care Act is an example of a market-based reform, an effort to extend access to American healthcare and the American healthcare industry without really radically changing how we pay for medicine and how we sort of provide those services. So I think Congress and the president were faced with a challenge of saying, we want to be able to extend access to healthcare. How do we do this in a way that, one, is going to get passed? And two, that is not going to completely upset the system. And I think they did – they ended up with something pretty good considering.
There is a very good chance, though, that the Supreme Court may rule on one thing and leave the law alone, which, as we all know, is how we ended up paying for this by requiring everybody to carry this insurance. If that, in fact, happened, how would you solve that problem?
So if they struck down just the individual mandate,
yeah.
Ultimately what's going to happen is they're going to have to find other ways to pay for that. We're going to have to look at different taxes to make up for that. One of the things about the mandate is it's the most controversial part, but many people's complaints is we don't want to have universal health care and not pay for it. Mm-hmm. And the individual mandate is really an important aspect of paying for it, the fiscally conservative aspect of this legislation. So I think that that's what we're going to have to look at. Where are areas that we can tax? How are we going to do that without making it unnecessarily expensive, which was the issue we were trying to address in the first place?
Let me go back to something you just touched on. But one of the things that seems to be very clear to me in Wyoming when I travel the state and talk to people about this is that this is the federal government overreaching. This is the federal government getting into an area maybe they shouldn't be involved in, and maybe this should be left up to the marketplace. Your response to that?
Government is involved in our insurance, whether it's the state or the federal government, at many different levels. And it always has been, largely because it's a huge market industry that impacts a wide range of activities. I think a lot of what the Affordable Care Act did was actually just facilitate those market mechanisms. So I don't view this as an anti-market approach at all.
Changing gears, boy, here's the easiest softball of the day. How do you balance the budget?
How do you balance the budget? I think the key to balancing the budget is to have Congress work, have Congress do its job. They need to be willing to make tough decisions. They need to be willing to meet together and work together. And that sounds so simple and maybe naive, but that is sort of what their job is. And I think the Simpson-Bowles or the Bowles-Simpson proposal that came out at the end of 2010, a proposal like that really is, I think, key to balancing the budget. It makes some hard decisions, but it also allows for us to make cuts across the board, but also to be able to sort of maintain government programs, so maintain a certain bit of viability to it. Right now, the great fear is, You know, are we going to go default? And I don't think we are going to default. But that uncertainty is not good for the economy. It's not good for government contracts. It's not good for a wide range of things.
Obviously, some people are going to view you, you're a Democrat. That obviously means you're not going to want to cut certain things. That means you're also going to be really focused on raising taxes. And I'm sure you're going to get that as you go door to door. How do you respond to that? And how might your view differ from that?
My interest is not in raising taxes, but looking at how we spend that money. So we raise lots of taxes, and some of those questions are people paying a fair share? I think the doors that I knock on in Wyoming are people who are paying their fair share. But there's people who make considerably large amounts of money who are paying much smaller percentages. They're not people who are making a good living from working hard in the fields. These are people who are making large amounts from investments, but they're not asked to make the same sacrifices that an oil field worker is or a rancher is. And that's not fair for those people who are really working hard for their livings to be expected to pay a certain amount and others not to. And I think that, you know, something like Simpson-Bowles basically says, you know, in order for us to really address these problems, you can't leave anything off the table.
Senator Simpson has been making a lot of hay talking about Social Security. What would you do there?
I think we need to look at Social Security, and not for the sake of, saving money, but also for the sake of saving Social Security. If we're not willing to talk about these things, problems just fester, whether it's the how we pay for it, how we're going to pay for it in the future. That we need to be willing to restructure some of those mechanisms by which we collect those taxes, some of the ways that we look at those. And to be honest, I don't know if I have any sort of silver bullets for Social Security problems in terms of the money and the funding. But if we don't talk about it, we're not going to get anywhere. And I think that's one of the admirable things that Senator Simpson has done is say, hey, nobody's talking about this. Let me sort of throw it out there, even if it's going to be controversial.
Democratic candidate for Congress Chris Henrikson visiting with us today. Okay, so a couple of things out there that people are going to ask you about, and we probably should ask you here. How do you balance Wyoming's economic need for energy development with some possible environmental issues out there?
I think the key in terms of balancing those concerns is bringing all of the industries to the table, all of the interests to the table. You see this with the problems they've been having in Pavilion lately, that there is – it seemed like our representatives were quick to basically bash the EPA, even having state officials bashing the people of Pavilion. But there was very little scrutiny on, you know, what was causing the pollution, what was causing these problems with drinking water. And I think that we can definitely bring a balance of saying, how do we promote energy, mineral extraction, but also look at things like whether it's worker safety or clean water. Do we want to be able to have a healthy energy mineral industry here in Wyoming? Absolutely. It's vital to our success. But I see no reason why we can't also have clean water. We can't also sort of address some of those population issues. And what that really requires us to do is have an open dialogue rather than sort of knee-jerk ideological reactions.
You've obviously been reading here in the last few days, and both of our senators voted to try and overturn those EPA coal standards. Tough issue in the state of Wyoming. Where would you stand on that?
You know, I'm not sure exactly on that, the specific parts of that legislation. I think that the key in Wyoming is that for us, some of the coal exports that we have, some of those regulations really are an important part of our economy. So I would definitely have a skeptical eye towards some of these regulations, with a particular interest in saying, how do these things impact Wyoming coal producers that provide jobs, and does it create unfair burden on them when they are competing with foreign providers of coal and so forth?
Do you agree that those kinds of standards can cost us jobs in the state?
I think they can. I think sometimes there's a knee-jerk reaction that says EPA regulation bad, mm-hmm. that that we sort of – if something comes from the EPA, it's the job of the representatives of Wyoming to oppose it. And I think that sometimes is not helpful because we end up basically getting polar disputes between the two polar sides. And I think what we need to be doing is engaging environmental issues, engaging the EPA in order to come up with regulations that are going to be able to work for Wyoming. Mm-hmm. I think right now the party of no approach that the Republican Party is taking on and that both our senators and our congresswomen are taking ultimately means that they oppose everything, but they're not part of the dialogue. And by not being part of the dialogue, they're not coming up with aspects of regulation that are going to both benefit Wyoming, but also sort of look out for that common good.
And maybe a last topic for you. This came from a listener. Endangered species legislation. When I'm hearing politicians from Wyoming talk, boy, they sure want a lot of reform in that particular area. Although there are plenty of people in this state that feel very differently about that. I'm curious your stance.
In terms of endangered species, I do you have a specific species?
I'll give you a couple. Let me ask you about wolves and let me ask you about grizzly bears. Where would you like to see that properly managed and what would you like to see happen? Should both of those animals truly be managed by the state right now and delisted?
I think I would be open to having a more federal approach to those types of issues. And what I mean by that is that, you know, there is going to be federal protection of certain species. But within that, federal protections allow for the states to be able to address immediate local concerns. And I think there needs to be that balance. And there needs to be somewhere in between sort of, you know, the federal government sort of listing things and making wide assumptions about things, which often lead to unintended consequences. And sort of the opposite approach, which says, you know, we should, you know, return Yellowstone back to the state of Wyoming. That there needs to be something in between those two that is both in the interest of protecting our ecosystem, but also sort of our tourism industry that we have in good part of the state.
Chris Hendrickson, Democratic candidate for Congress. We thank you very much for stopping by. We'll talk with you a little bit later in the campaign. Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.